room. So I would like to call this Board of Education meeting to order of April 21st, 2017. May I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Davis is not here. Mrs. DeGracius is not here. Mrs. Hickey?
Here.
Mr. Martieri?
Here.
Mr. Moore?
Here.
Dr. Thompson is not here. Ms. Williams?
Here.
All right. Can we recognize visitors and invite comments from the public? Anybody signed up? Do you want to say something? You come to enough meetings. You really want to say
something? The only thing I would like to say is that everybody to project their voices. Sometimes people are a little bit...
I have never had anyone request me to do that in my life before, and I appreciate it.
I can always hear you and Barb. For sure. But other people...
Speak up, Rich.
The big mouth.
Come on.
Yes, ma'am. Right. Thank you for being here.
Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Martieri?
Yep.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
All right. Communications.
Yes. We have a couple of notes here. This one is from Angie Davis. Dear Ed and board members, thank you so much for the generous retirement gifts. My years with the district were a wonderful experience. I miss being part of the team, and we will miss her. And the other one is from Barb Garvey. Thank you so much for the beautiful flowers. I love the love from my D90 family has brought me great comfort in these difficult days. Sincerely, Barb Garvey.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have a consent agenda, which includes minutes from the special board meeting and Board of Education meeting of July 19, 2017. It also includes payrolls, orders relating to payrolls, bills, and treasurer's report. Can you get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Ms. Hickey. Mrs. Hickey.
Yes.
Mr. Martieri.
Yep.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Ms. Williams.
Yes.
All right, so board committees, I can't imagine there was much activity in the wonderful warm month of August, but we'll just go through the list for the heck of it. Education, Rich?
No meeting, but we're planning to meet.
You know, later today we're going to talk about the temporary chair, Ralph Martieri, being replaced by someone more competent, so we'll talk about that later. Policy, Stacy?
Nothing to report.
Excellent. Finance, Nicole. Thank you, Nicole. Equity, Ralph Martieri. The only thing to report is our tri-board equity meeting is actually scheduled for August 23rd, and I may have to cancel it because that's also the day they have scheduled the override vote on SB1. And I will have to be in Springfield for that, and so it just depends on whether or not they can get back in time to actually make it to the meeting. If not, we'll reschedule.
And it was tentatively scheduled for the, or currently scheduled for the 23rd?
Yeah.
This coming?
Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesday.
It's 2 days from now.
I didn't have it on the calendar.
Good. Well, this is just the tri-board meeting.
The tri-board. I'm so sorry. I thought you meant the District 90.
No. The
okay.
Three of us,
apologize.
The D90, D97, and D200.
So sorry.
Facilities, Judy, thank you for that report. Communications, Barb Hickey.
Nothing to report right at the moment. I am going to be reaching out to the subcommittee, the government entities, to try to pull everybody together. That always takes a little bit of doing, but I think it's time to do it in September, so I will be trying to pull that together. Other than that, I hope to sit down with Dawn sometime soon and just get our feet on the ground and get ready to run with what's going on in the district as school begins.
Excellent. And I think, Ed, do you have a district calendar review for us?
We do. So today was, the board is very aware, was our first Teacher Institute Day with the return of all faculty and staff. It was an excellent event. And very appreciative, actually, Ralph, to have you come bring greetings from the board. Your words of positive support were much appreciated. It was a very nice Institute Day. Lots of planning went into it, and I know our faculty and staff got an awful lot out of it, including a moment to put on their eclipse glasses and try to peer through the clouds. We had a glimpse. The first day of school, of course, for students is this coming Thursday. You'll note that kindergarten begins on Friday. The board retreat is scheduled for a week from tonight. It will actually be held in the district office, not here in the Roosevelt LLC. We'd hope to do it here in the school, but the students will still, you know, be in session, and it looks like they'll need this space still at 3 o'clock. So we'll be in the district office from 3 to 8 p.m. New family orientation at Willard is on Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, and then the back-to-school picnic for Lincoln families is on the 31st. Obviously, you can see there are a listing of additional meetings and activities going on in September, but following tonight, our next official meeting of the Board of Ed will be at the Cal meeting on September 5th at 7 p.m.
Are any board members going to be able to make it to the August 29th new family orientation? I'm only asking, I was initially
what
planning.
What day of the week is that?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. I was initially planning to go on the final day to override the governor's veto on SB1 is August 29th. So my guess is my August 29th, because I doubt the override will actually happen in 2 days, will be an interesting day.
What is the family for Lincoln?
Let me have to, well, Lincoln is having an event tonight.
Oh, okay.
But the picnic is on the 31st.
Yeah, that's their big deal, right? It's the picnic.
That's much more heavily attended.
And the 29th is for Willard?
The 29th is specifically...
Yes, new family orientation for Willard.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's actually an orientation event.
Okay.
Willard is holding a gathering of families tomorrow night, tomorrow evening at 5:30 p.m.
Okay.
But this is an event, it's a program. So Diane Wood will... she's usually accompanied by several staff members, the social worker, and they actually have kind of a presentation to families.
Would you like somebody there? This is on the
29th. These are just events. What we're trying to do with this new format is to provide board members with dates and times of events that if they wish to attend,
okay,
they certainly can. They aren't necessarily high need.
Okay, and this one is what time?
I'm going to go to the Lincoln back to school picnic on the 31st.
On the 31st, you're going to make that, Rich?
All right, I apologize. Not texting, I can't get online, so I have my board book.
And the 29th is at what time at Willard?
I will have to check, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't anticipate that, I'm so sorry.
I will.
You know, we have chatted about getting board members at all these things, like
right,
you said. And I'm obviously not covering them, so I'm being the slacker here.
Well,
but
I think the beginning of the year ones are a big deal.
Yeah, I agree.
They're more important than at other times.
The open houses,
so
of course, are choice. Other big nights, and those,
yeah,
but those aren't until after our Cal meeting.
Right.
For planning purposes. So let
me
get you the
time.
Well,
if you let me know the time, I will do
absolutely.
To get
thank
there.
You for considering that.
Okay. So that moves us on to outside meetings. And my guess is there are as many of those as there were internal meetings in the last few weeks. But just to run through it, Council of Governments, Ralph and Ed, they didn't meet. We will be meeting in the fall. Rich, the OPRF Community Council?
No, we did not meet over the summer. And I have the next one on my calendar.
Barb, Youth?
Youth Network Council has not met, but we will be soon.
How about PTO, same thing?
I also have reached out to the PTOs and asked if I could come to their initial meetings and bring greetings from the board. And the Willard and Lincoln are on the same day at the same time. But I did that last year, so I'll try to figure out how to do it again. And I did email them today and asked if I could appear for just a couple of minutes and thank everybody for all of their work.
Do you know when the dates are? Because if we want to divide and conquer, you know, I could take one of those two that are at the same time if I'm available.
I believe it's the 28th.
Yes.
And at 8:45 to
September
9.
28th or August?
August.
August 28th.
Yeah.
And in the past, Barb and I have kind of... ridden together. We've
yeah,
been with the one at 8:45 and the other at 9:15.
Shuffled around so that they would be looking for us. But
okay,
I think
so our board retreat is August 28th.
Yes.
Yes.
In the evening.
So it's a busy day.
Yeah.
PTO meetings are in the morning.
If you can't make it, Ralph, I can cover. I'll just be, and you know, I told them I will get there when I can, but please put me on the agenda so that I can say thank you.
You know, I have no idea what I'm doing on the time.
Well, you can let me know. And if it's any kind of a problem, I'll just get where I need to be.
You know, I might be able to cover it, actually. I had
a
tentative meeting, but I could cancel that because, frankly, I'd prefer to cancel it. So.
Well, I'm not going to take
There's
a piece
that.
Of that one. But if you want to help, but
yeah.
I think it's really nice to be there.
Yeah, no, I agree, especially the first meeting in AA. It's all volunteer. And
for the kids, and I think what they do, being on site, is so important.
So what time? 10?
It's 8:45 to about 9:30.
Which one do you want? Do you want Willard or Lincoln? All right, I will do Willard.
Okay.
And I'll jump between the two.
And where does the PTO meet?
Willard, it's in the faculty lounge.
And at Lincoln, it's in the multipurpose room.
So you can just chuck in the front, and I'll take you down.
All right. I'll put that on the calendar. All right, Inclusiveness Advisory Board, Ms. Williams.
Yes, we did not meet this summer, but we will be meeting in the fall.
I'm pretty sure the River Forest Service Club didn't meet over the summer. I'm a member of that, too, and I didn't get a notice or anything. I went to the last couple of meetings, so I don't think Nicole would have anything to report there. And Judy's not here. Wes Cook did not meet over the summer. It does say 8/18/17, but as far as I know, that didn't happen. Ed Red Finance, you know.
Not since our last meeting.
Not since our last meeting, and I might have spoke up at the last Ed Red meeting. So the Ed Red group, which is an association of mostly more affluent districts, was neutral on SB1, and I questioned why in probably strong terms. And there's no reason for affluent districts to not lend their voice to meaningful education funding reform that benefits other districts. And in fact, they need to. Too often these things happen where folks who represent these communities in the legislature think that changes that benefit low and moderate income families will harm kids' education in communities like ours. It's absolutely not true in SB1, and the fact that they went neutral I found not acceptable, and I registered that. So maybe at some point this year we will take up reviewing our continued affiliation with Ed Red. Tri-Board Collaborative Committee, I gave sort of a preview of that report. We are scheduled to meet on the 23rd, and we either will or won't, depending once again on SB1. And Barb, have you gotten them?
The subcommittee, I'm going to try to get the wagons in a circle on that one because
great.
I think it's really important, but that has not made it to the top of my inbox quite yet.
All right, so that brings us to Ed, your action items, and I think the first one is the board committee assignments.
It is. So we provided the board with the current committee assignments, and as Ralph mentioned earlier, he's kind of been serving since the departure of Ann Gottlieb as the personnel chair pro tem. And
please get me off the committee.
So I wanted to provide you all with the discussion points here as to whether or not you might want to.
So there's my facilitation. It is y'all's responsibility to get me off of this committee.
Can we appoint one of the people who's not here?
That's the rule, man.
That's why
she
paid for nothing.
So I have
someone who's not here to defend themselves?
Yeah, I have a suggestion. And Rich, the first thing is, though, are you interested in taking on that committee?
Well, I really love working on the education committee. But I do think that, you know, we might want to experience different committees here for 4 years.
I think if you're willing to take that on, that can be a pretty interesting committee. I mean, hopefully you'll have no issues, but occasionally we do have issues, and Ed does need to reach out and chat with the committee chair and walk through those things, and it would be a nice change of pace for you. We know you know the education policy stuff anyway, because that's your business, and so maybe, you know, we certainly wouldn't get a reduced role from you on education. You'd still have your input on all those issues, and this would put you in another role, which would be, I think.
The board would have me. I would take on the personnel.
Can I get a
motion?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Martieri?
Yep.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
All right, so now that created a vacancy on education. And we have two board members who aren't here. Cal, the new board member coming in, who doesn't have a committee assignment yet. Of course, education would be an interesting committee, but one of the reasons we wanted to bring Cal on to the board was his expertise in finance. And so maybe pending, and we'll probably resolve this at the next board meeting probably, but pending Nicole's okay, maybe move Nicole to education and have Cal take over finance, is what I'm thinking.
Makes sense.
Does that sound like a rational approach? So if that's a rational approach, I would hate to do that without them being here and without getting the consent. Certainly Nicole gets the thumb up or thumb down whether or not she moves from hers. So you know, I'll have a discussion with Nicole and Cal in the interim, and we'll finalize this at the next board meeting.
Okay, sounds good.
Will Rich likely stay on as the education committee chair in the interim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the interim,
so
he'll just
start
a couple
of
hats. Right. Until it's changed, it ain't changed. So, but the best thing that happened is I am no longer pro tem. Personnel.
Would you like to see that business conducted at the upcoming Cal as opposed to waiting until next board?
Yeah.
Great.
I think sooner rather than later, don't you think?
You bet.
And let people really dig into their committee assignments. So.
Sounds great.
Could it happen at the retreat even, or want to wait?
It's an open meeting.
It is an open meeting. We could do that, couldn't we?
It is, well, or you could discuss it there and then take action at the Cal. Okay. Typically, you've not taken action at the board retreat.
That's good.
It's...
And if we start to do that,
people might
show up. It becomes a different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't.
Okay. Let's
we don't want to say that louder.
All right. So we will discuss it at the retreat, which is just a couple days from now, really, what, a week?
Mm-hmm.
And then finalize it at the subsequent call.
Perfect.
Have we now finally done it so all meetings are at 7?
Yes.
Woo-hoo, what a good thing that is.
Except the board retreats.
Yeah, well, obviously. You know, come on. We'll talk about attention to detail a little later when we talk about interpreting our contracts. All right, so enrollments, well, no, should we do the proposed tentative budget?
That would be great.
Why don't we move on to that?
Okay, you see the second draft of the budget that includes changes since the previous version. And just like in previous years, look for items that are bolded and in a larger font so you can identify them. In the education fund revenues, there are no changes.
And so, what page in the packet are we
on? Oh, I'm sorry, page 55.
Okay.
So the education fund receipts did not change. The education fund expenditures, so on page 58 of the packet, is where those expenditures start. You'll see that the expenditures in total decreased by a little over $78,000. The net updated salary and benefit information for the most recent hires of $105,400. And some additional job embedded professional development of $27,000. So as a result, the change in the education fund June 30, 2018 fund balance is an increase of $78,400 because the expenditures decreased. There were no other changes, so therefore the cumulative effect of the above change for all funds is an increase of $78,400 for those fund balances. So this is the second review of this budget at tonight's meeting, and as of Friday, the 18th, there was the notice that was put in the paper. I'm sorry, as of Thursday, the 17th, the notice was put in the paper notifying the public that the tentative budget draft was on public display starting Friday, the 18th, through September 18th, the night you are approving it. And any changes can still be made to that. Also, the notice in the paper talked about a budget hearing that is going to take place just prior to the regular board meeting on September 18th. We do expect some changes between now and September 18th meeting due to any additional hires that are taking place or any other changes if they're significant. Obviously, we will tell you in advance, but if not, they'll just go on the last final reading of it. I do want to direct your attention to page 63 of your packet. As it has been in the past, you get this education fund expenditure summary with comparison to prior year actual. This is not available at the first reading, so this is the first time you're seeing this, but this gives you an idea of the increases from the prior year actual, as well as, if you do the math, the increases from prior year budget. So just to highlight, the salary increase of $782,000 was due to mainly the 2.6% increase, contractual increase for certified personnel per the union contract, plus adjusting for the change in number of FTEs that we discussed at the last meeting per function. We went into some pretty good detail on where those were. $197,000 for the new Thursday meeting stipend and $100,000 for eased restrictions on the staff-initiated curriculum work stipend. $8,250 in educational level or lane-in changes, and then a 2.5 average salary increase for non-certified personnel. Employee benefits increased to $209,000. It was almost entirely for a $105,000 increase in health insurance costs across the district, as well as $103,000 in the increase in TRS costs resulting from the increase in salaries.
Have you talked at all at the board level about Tier 3?
No, we have not.
Do you want to just mention that now? Do you want me to mention that
now?
So what happened when they passed the budget deal this year is they created a third tier of pensions for public sector employees, including teachers, Tier 3. And unlike in the past, normal cost for Tier 3 hires will be on the school district. So we've been talking about a cost shift from the state to the local level, and they may not do it now for the pre-existing Tier 1 and Tier 2, but new hires, we have their full normal cost responsibility going forward. And that is a significant change. It won't make a major difference.
And when you say new hires, you mean newly to TRS.
Newly to TRS. So totally new
Except
to the
for
system.
Tier 2 can opt to be Tier 3.
Right. But if they do, they're out of their flipping mind.
Exactly.
But they could. So the next few years, there shouldn't be a major cost associated with that. But in 7 to 10 years, it will be a real cost.
Another significant supplies increase of $173,000 was due mainly by the increase in regular program supplies relating to the K-8 math textbook adoption, the one that you've approved, and the estimated amount that's coming up in the winter. Capital outlay increase of $78,000 has to do mainly to the tech capital expenditures per the tech plan, as well as some increases and decreases in some capital expenditures relating to TORT and special education grants. Remember, this is a change or variance between the budget and prior year actual. And then other, including tuition, which is mainly tuition for out-of-district students, decrease of $122,000 because the expected enrollment of out-of-district tuition students is going down.
If you look back on page 62, I always like to do this and run this number. So you look at the budgeted expenditures for 2016-2017 and compare them to actual. The estimate was off by 0.09%.
Sorry.
And,
I feel bad about that.
I just do this all the time, but that's just a fun thing to point out, that the person doing our projections is, shall we say, relatively accurate.
It's not perfect, though, right?
I'll do better. Since there are no changes in any other funds, I'm not going to be going over those, but if you want to go to page 68 and 69, especially 68, where the changes are in bold, showing the change in the education fund, but showing that the comparison of the fund balance of June 30, 2018 for the operating funds, comparing it to June 30, 2017, actually shows an increase of that fund balance, so that technically, even though the amount is quite small, we are not in deficit spending yet, even though we're very close.
It'd be great if you could put that off for 2 more years and then deficit spend away.
It was anticipated, as the board is aware, this year, and Anthony's efforts were helpful in trying to push that out yet one more time. would become increasingly, significantly difficult for that to happen again.
Well, it was good that everything, you know, expenditures went down by 75,000, made the spread a little bit bigger than it was last month, but you never know what happens in the month of August and September.
Sure. Can we smooth that 75,000?
Amortize it. Okay, any other questions? Once again, one more time, and you'll be adopting this in September. And please show up to September. It's the only document that everyone signs. So it'd be nice if everyone was here.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good reminder. So
that would move us on to the second information item. We did want to share with the board kind of one last important glance at the enrollment figures for the current school year. Tonight, the board will be approving, we hope, the addition of the 0.5 kindergarten teacher that's necessary at Willard in order to take the edge off that increasingly large kindergarten enrollment, really unanticipated, came out the second half of the summer. But Lincoln School, across the board, class sections look very strong and solid. Anywhere, even in worst case scenarios, 6 to 8 children from reaching CAP, which we don't anticipate will happen between now and Wednesday. The middle school, of course, we typically just provide, when we get to this time of the year, the current class sizes. You'll see that the enrollment, total enrollment, is a little bit different, though. It's down because we lost that large class, rising ninth graders, upon their graduation last year. And then at Willard School, again, the addition of the 0.5 kindergarten. All the other class sizes are very manageable. The bigger challenge we have at Willard School, separate from the actual enrollment, is space. And we are pretty well hitting our limit in terms of usable space and facilities over at Willard School. The addition of this 0.5 kindergarten was not a real problem because we had 1.5 sections previously, and so we're just offering that additional section in the classroom where the other 0.5 is presently being held.
Why was there such a differential in the first grade numbers?
From year to year? Well, that's not, so these were warm bodies, or excuse me,
right.
let me
Okay. Yeah, these are the warm bodies.
Okay. So
this is the projection.
These children moved up to second grade, so those children are still there.
Oh, okay.
But your question is a great one, because, and Ralph's observation about our first grade numbers across the board is something that probably we should draw some attention to. We find that a large percentage of families will come to the district for the first time in first grade. Families that really feel strongly about their children enrolling in either a full-day kindergarten program or possibly wanting a different programming option, you know, like a Montessori alternative, something like that. Many of those families will then matriculate to D90 in first, so we always see a big spike in first grade. As far as other preparations relative to the start of school, I'd like to just share some really important words of gratitude to our engineers and maintenance team. Anthony, as our director of facilities, along with his other hat, provides a lot of leadership for that. But at the end of the day, really those engineers and maintenance staff members are the ones who, over the course of the summer, do the heavy lifting to get these schools ready. And our schools look really, I'm proud to say, really great. Our teachers came back today, of course, and they were really pleased and I think impressed to see the condition of their classrooms. And, that's no small thing, having, of course, this year the return to two sites for summer school. Those two buildings were effectively in use all the way, you know, into mid-July. So we feel really ready to go. Resources are here. Classroom materials are here. Teachers tomorrow will be working at the school level. They have the principal's school building meetings. They have some initial training, of course, that's being provided. And then on Wednesday, that's really the last day the teachers have to collaborate together, do a lot of their collaboration work. They do student concerns meetings, IEP meetings, things like that, and then children will arrive on Thursday morning. So we're feeling really great about being ready to go, and we figure that there's so many relevant because Thursday morning they're all showing up anyway.
They're coming, so, right. Ready or not.
Absolutely.
Just riding around the buildings on a bike ride on Sunday, it's just, I mean, the buildings are stellar. I mean, they're really pristine. Pretty lucky to have such facilities here. So.
Absent one canopy, by the way.
I didn't say it. There is a length of chain link fence that is not on our property that I think we need to speak to the owners about. You know,
is that adjacent to Lincoln
parking lot? Library has that. I mean, it is just, I think we'd all agree, pristine, except for that little bit of chain fence. It's incongruous with the whole facade. So, do you want me to talk to Sue or?
About
them perhaps upgrading their fence in the parking lot.
Gosh, if that's the board's wish.
I can talk.
You friends with them?
Well, I brought my kids into the library since they were one.
Without being officially sanctioned to do so by the board,
okay.
Feel
all
free.
Right. I'll let the administration deal with it then.
We don't want to see you in the paper, Mitch. Please.
All right. So that moves us to board development and the National Equity Project training.
Yes. So as the board is aware, you very graciously approved the professional services contract earlier this year. And one of the elements that's contained within, this would be on page 76 of your packet, is some training, Leading for Equity training for complex systems that's being made available to the Board of Ed. So it's scheduled for a half-day learning session. And really what I was just hoping would be to kind of garner the board's consensus about what you would like that to look like. That could be done in a number of different ways and, of course, different times over the course of the year. An evening training that was, you know, a 5 to 10 p.m. kind of event, or 5 to 9 p.m. is one option. We could do a Saturday morning. We could do a daytime training if that's the board's preference.
I think with jobs and stuff, a daytime training is probably out.
Prohibitive.
I think it'd be easier to either do an evening or a weekend. I'm pretty flexible. The issue that it will come up on weekends is we all have kids, and kids have stuff and such on weekends.
Soccer coach.
Yeah. So yeah. So maybe if we could pick a weeknight, that might work better in everyone's calendar. I'm trying to think of the different things I know everyone has to do. The other part of it is, so last time we got some board training, it was sort of introductory training.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this is going to go next level, correct?
Yeah, that's the intention.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And last time we invited members of the village board if they wanted to come. Isn't that right?
We did. That's correct.
Carmen and Rez.
Did Rez come? I remember Carmen coming.
Carmella
coming. So the question is, do we want to invite them again? Do we want to invite maybe the boards of D200 or D97 as part of our efforts to bop it up, or would we rather keep it in-house? Now, I think we could talk about this at the retreat if we want to get into the pros and cons, because there are pros and cons doing it both ways. So maybe make that a thought item for when we get to discussion of the equity committee and stuff at the retreat, and maybe go into a little more detail then. And then we'll have the full board here too, so we'll be able to solicit the input of, you know, Cal and Nicole and Judy.
Now, is that an open meeting too then? Or
yes,
it is.
Not grounds for closed session.
Okay, so I was just thinking, you know, close and personal, but if it's open anyway.
It didn't stop any of us from being pretty
right.
direct last time around.
Right, exactly.
But you know, we should talk about it. I mean, I really want to make it an effective training. I do like the fact that it's going to go next level. We are trying to bump up this cohesion. I mean, obviously, even if we invite members of other boards, they may or may not come. Most will not come. I mean, most from the village board didn't come. But, you know, part of being effective in ensuring every child gets a meaningful opportunity to learn is getting community support together. So I just throw that out there.
Do you have a preference, or would you also like to discuss at the retreat the kind of the timing of that? Obviously, a school year has a flow to
mm-hmm.
it. You know, we anticipate we'll be talking about in just a moment, the III conference, which
right.
we may have a number of board members participate in. That's in November. So, you know, maybe good possibilities would be that we try to do something either mid-fall or probably wait until after the winter holidays and try to do something in the January, February realm. Do you have feelings about that now, or would you rather talk about that with the full board?
Should we just talk about that with the full board and just
mm-hmm.
get everyone's input? I think that's the right way to go.
Sounds good. The next item we wanted to share was some good news, and I think our board members are largely aware of this, but they may or may not be entirely. The Moody's Investor Services changed the school district's bond rating after contacting the district in July for more information about operations and revenues and expenditures.
Want me to discuss in detail or not?
Absolutely. Why don't you take it?
Sure. Well, the last time we, last meeting we spoke, we were preparing for the interview from Moody's, and we received information back that they did upgrade us from AA2 to AA1. The second level down from the next level down from AAA. So in addition to this good news, we are required as part of our bond issuance for these bonds, our continuing disclosure to notify the general public about this through EMMA is a municipal service that allows us to make this required notification within the prescribed number of days, and that has been posted on the EMMA website. So everyone who wants to invest in these wonderful bonds has the notification that they've been upgraded from AA2 to AA1.
And have we done a press release?
We have.
Yes, that was my next question. I thought that's the kind of news that we would like to have.
And even just taking, I would just take this paragraph, the strong credit rating is a result of several factors, including the district's strong financial operations and reserves, and forward-looking financial planning combined with a moderate institutional framework. I think that those are things the community needs to hear coming from an independent third party that's reviewing our operations, right?
Didn't we do a press release?
We did.
Yeah,
it went out. But we could certainly use that language if you like it in the primer announcement this fall.
I
think our families would love to see that.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and we did get a nice article from Tom Vogel.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, can't get enough good press.
Yeah, no, I think on
Don
that.
Did a great job with the press release, by the way. Yeah. Got a chance to see it.
Well, it's a reflection, of course, of many, many years. Decades of, I think, good decision making by the administrative team, and most importantly by many, many generations of Board of Education members who believe strongly in stewardship and have passed that culture on. So, sadly, in the times that Illinois is dealing with funding and some of the other real significant financial woes, to have this nice acknowledgement is powerful. So.
Yeah, it's all good. Moving on.
Triple I conference is scheduled. The Board of Retreat is scheduled. Board of Ed Retreat is scheduled a week from tonight. Sounds like we have a few additional items that we'll make sure are on the agenda. Are there other items you'd like to add?
Hey, the only thing, Ed, based on that Sunday meeting, right? Mm-hmm. So just want to make sure that when we're thinking about equity and inclusivity and steps we're taking there, we think about the growing awareness of gender identity at different ages in kids, and how children do identify as a gender that maybe not the gender they were born biologically as. And so coming up with rational policies on making sure we recognize that, making sure we're supportive of all kids, and making sure that we can and do whatever we can from either a policy or a facility standpoint to ensure that we are a welcoming environment for all children, I think would be important. So we should talk about that. And it's complex stuff, and so it's worth a conversation. Fair?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. And then, of course, the draft agenda for that meeting is in the board packet on pages 85 and 86. If after looking at it more in more detail, you have other items you'd like to see changed or amended, just feel free to let me know.
No, the way I looked at that agenda that you cobbled together, Ed, was I could talk about almost anything under almost any of those, and so I felt pretty much free reign.
Great. Before we move on, board members will also see at their seats a manila folder, and it's labeled Perception Data, D90 Perception Data 2017. So what's contained within are the results of the Five Essentials survey that was most recently conducted, the Education for the Future survey, which was conducted last year. Of course, both of those are done on an every other year basis, as well as a, I think, excellent comparative review that Dawn completed for the data from the IAB surveys in 2015 and 2017. Each one of those data sets is accompanied either by a narrative article or some explanatory information about how to interpret the data. And the purpose of providing that, I know the board had indicated earlier that while the board retreat information would be forthcoming in the supporting packet, it might be advantageous to have the perception data with a little bit more headway so that you'd have time to go through it and, you know, consume it at a little more leisurely pace to get your packet on Thursday and then be expected to go through, you know, 150 pages plus perception data is an awful lot. So anyway, do you have that? If for some reason after taking a look at it or as you look through it, if you'd like more information or more detailed information, you can certainly provide that, or interpretation, more information about interpretation. The one thing I would want to mention is that the five essentials data that you receive in that packet is the full district data. Five essentials data can be sliced and diced in many different ways, including individual school reports, but that starts to get really significant in terms of the amount of information that we'd be asking you to go through. However, it is available. So if at any point after looking at the district data, if you've got an area you'd like to drill down in personally, or again, you'd just like to talk about what, you know, maybe your interpretation is of some of the perception data, what it means to you, feel free to just give me a ring. Either set up a time to meet or just even a telephone conference. So thank you.
Just a quick question about the retreat, and it's more of a question for you, Roth. The your recent appointment to the Erickson Institute program, which sounds amazing. Is the retreat the right place to have a discussion about what that will mean for, or what it could mean for what we do or how we think about our early childhood?
You know, I'd certainly be happy to talk about it. I mean, because it was a lot more than just that, right? I mean,
right.
We got into a lot of the brain science and the wraparound support services and those kinds of things, which is really where a lot of that game is played. And, and I was going to make it a point of emphasis of our tri-board equity cooperation to come up with a better way of coordinating and getting information out to parents in the Oak Park River Forest community about the different kind of supports that are available. I mean, there are a lot of gaps and inconsistent attempts to provide the appropriate support services that some parents may need in that area. So yeah, I'll be happy to talk about it then.
Okay.
And then I think maybe, I mean, you know, it's interesting. When I first went into that fellows program, I went into it when I was thinking about it from a D90 optic, that it would be mostly a matter for the Inclusivity Advisory Board. However, given the strong statistical and evidence-based relationships between what happens with 0 to 3 and achievement gaps, maybe it's part of the equity committee's work too, which is more focused on, you know, putting in evidence-based practices to specifically address achievement gaps. So we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Would you like for me to add that as an additional equity-related discussion topic?
Yeah, you can put it in there just to note that we'll chat about it.
Yeah.
Great. And then the last item for the board's review is just some background information on the forthcoming III conference scheduled from November 17th to 19th. One of the things that's interesting here is that for some reason, you'll see on pages 89 through, 92, we provided the kind of advance agenda of pre-conference workshops. And the one thing that's not scheduled this year
is the one that we had talked about.
Right. Yeah. So there's just about everything else. But and there are some great half-day workshops. So just the thing to know about that, of course, these advance workshops and trainings are not part of the III conference, but you do have to register to the III to attend those. So maybe if at your leisure you just take a gander at what's offered, if there's anything there that really kind of sparks an interest, let us know. We'll make sure that we schedule or
register.
Thank you. You for both the full conference as well as the half-day workshops. But you can also go to just the conference. And the nice thing about the conference is that you can go for as long or as little as you wish to attend. And they have many individual breakout sessions offered throughout.
Because they have that, that those.
No, it's not posted yet.
See.
No. We'll keep an eye peeled on
that.
Yeah, it'd be great if we could all up our game on the professional development side. I'd like to see, I mean, before I leave in 2 years, every board member receiving acknowledgement as a master board member who taking the training they need to do that. I think we can get that done in 2 years.
And how many different courses does that require?
Off the top of my head, I think it's something like 20 hours. I'm not quite sure that that's the right number. But if you go on the School Board Association's website, it tells you. And it's not that much of a load because you could do some of this stuff online and whatnot. But it'd be great, you know, for our board to once again be modeling what we say we want our kids to be, which is lifelong learners and, you know, filling our responsibilities. So it's been a thing for me. And we certainly have the kind of people, I think, who can handle high-end coursework on this board. So
trying to figure out the state's budget. You're going to teach us about that.
Yeah, I could do it. Believe me.
So
I got a PowerPoint.
Tracy will reach out to board members in the coming weeks and solicit your information about your intended or not attendance. So that's the superintendent's report today.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I am planning to attend. I think I was asked to speak on a panel for one of the things, so I'm going to be there anyway.
Great.
We'll see
Maybe
if that person
give you free
follows
entrance.
Through. We're talking about the School Board Association. All right, so I would need a motion to go into closed session in accordance with 5 ILCS 120/2(c) for collective negotiation matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. When we come out of that, I think we will be taking some small actions on personnel, which are reported to the public, but I think our public has left for the most part. So.
Good night.
Barb, you still a move?
I still move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.